We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Gets inside, left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot, back door, what a pass, what a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This isn't dark, you're listening to the Uncontested.
Hello, everybody. And welcome to the Uncontested Postgame Podcast Edition. I am your host for tonight, Justin, as the Thunder beat the Miami Heat 107-100. Before we dive in, I want to let you know that we are proudly part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and brought to you by Spark and Dave's Hot Chicken. If you don't already, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast and leave us a five-star rating. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and TikTok. Tonight, I am joined by Jacob to break this one down.
What's up?
A big win in OKC, a comeback win, something we've gotten very used to as Thunder fans. A game in which the Thunder had a very poor first half, trailed by as many as 16, I believe it was, and then kind of just put the clamps on and cruised to a fairly drama-less victory down the stretch. Really impressive performance from this Thunder team. Jacob, hit me with what's your one big takeaway at the top of this one?
Man, Justin, I have a lot of takeaways from this one. If I have to choose one, I'm going to say defense. That second half was absolute clamps. The Heat are known league-wide for their physicality, how like the never say die attitude, we'll get some dudes off the street and we'll come in and we'll stab you with a knife, like just craziness.
Yes.
And I thought, especially in that second half, the Thunder just matched the physicality and really took it to Miami. There's a handful of plays stand out. There was a huge Chet block on Jimmy Butler, which people in the comments over here saying that Chet ended the night with zero blocks in the box score, which would be very wrong because he had an emphatic block. It ended up leading to a Jaime Jaquez three.
It does show him as zero blocks in the box.
They're cooking the books, dude. They are absolutely cooking the books. There was a play in the third quarter where Dort just like went fullback slash middle linebacker mode and blew through somebody, ripped the ball away, and got down to the other end for a layup. The Jay Will put back off the Isaiah Joe missed kind of up and under scoop shot where he knocked, I forget who was in front of him trying to box him out, but he knocked someone to the ground and got the put back. I felt like just the Thunder out physicaled the Heat in that second half. And it's exactly what you want to see from the second youngest team in the league, Justin.
From the second youngest team in the league, that 100% was the tale of two halves, right? The defense in the first half was one of the glaring issues. Shooting was a challenge in the first half of the Thunder, but I thought on the defensive end, kind of the sloppy rotations, a little bit slow getting to their spots, led to a lot of open shots for Miami, which they did not miss in that first half. The Thunder gave them opportunities, and credit the Heat for taking full advantage of it early. Second half was a different story. Oklahoma City was rotating. They were crisper in their rotations. They were more aggressive defensively. You hit on a bunch of great individual plays that when this team is creating turnovers and able to get out in transition, it just totally changes the game. I feel like the first half looked like Miami Heat basketball, and the second half looked like Oklahoma City Thunder basketball.
Totally agree. And I don't want this to seem like it's an excuse or discrediting the Heat, because that's not my intention here. But really, Justin, to me, as far as just the scoreboard, the difference between the first half and the second half was Patty Mills, who had 11 yes, points he did. On like 100% shooting in the first half and got 2 points in the second half. Jaime Jaquez had 17 points in the first half,
yep,
only 8 in the second half. The Heat had Jimmy Butler got 20. Rozier got 14. The rest of their starters got 5, 7, and 9. They helped Bam Adebayo to 5 points on 1 of 9 shooting. Guy did have 10 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks, which is nice. But when Jaime Jaquez outscores 3 of their 5 starters, I mean, yep, it was just a matter of, can you slow those two down? One of them being Patty freaking Mills.
And, who was not playing basketball a month ago.
Yeah, like, that inevitably was going to happen. Jaime's yeah, just really good.
Yep.
It was just a bad mix of everything in that first half. Bad Chet, yep, less efficient Shea, et cetera, et cetera. And yep, guys from the Heat being hot, and the, go figure, the Heat were hot. And then when you shut them down in the second half, and they clamped in, and it worked. Great win.
It worked, and I think that you hit on a couple individual guys. We'll probably break that down a little bit more coming up, but I think total collective effort tonight, that's another thing that if I have a takeaway from this game, the kind of the return of the bench is what I would frame this one as. And I think, not a coincidence, you get Jay Will back and the bench elevates as a whole unit. Jay Will had a great game tonight off the bench, 17 minutes. He had 5 points off 2 of 3 shooting, 1 of 1 from behind the arc, 7 boards, 1 steal, and 1 block. But even more than the counting stats, his energy was infectious. And it felt like whenever he was in the game, he was doing the hustle plays. And I think that carried over to guys like Aaron Wiggins, who had, again, just like doing the dirty work, making the spark plays all game long. Isaiah Joe had a nice night tonight. 2 of 6 from behind the arc, not as hot as what we would like to see from Joe, but still some nice moments. The 2 threes that he hit were both pretty big. And then Gordon Hayward, a guy that I'd love to spend a little bit of time talking about. Jacob, you said something in our Slack that I would love for the internet to hear about what you felt about Gordon's performance tonight.
I thought it was his best performance as a Thunder player, and I don't think it was close.
Yeah,
His stat line for tonight, let me get it pulled up here.
18 minutes, 3 points, 1 of 3 shooting, 1 of 2 from behind the arc, 2 boards, 4 assists, 1 steal. Doesn't jump off the page from a counting stat perspective, but I agree. A really nice game from Hayward.
He did so much. Moving the ball, like fighting for rebounds, playing really good defense. Like, he just tonight felt like the first game where he felt like he fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't feel forced or weird. It just felt like it fit tonight. And I think that's a really good sign.
Yep.
I think it's a really good sign.
It felt like he was facilitating more so than we've seen, where like he's playing within the flow of the offense and setting guys up. He had a couple nice passes. Like I said, the 4 assists. I agree. Like, not a game that jumps off the page, but a guy that's working himself back from injury, getting acclimated to a new team, had put up a lot of just kind of meh, blah, nothing games, that it's starting to feel like maybe we're starting to see the integration take hold a little bit.
For sure. Before tonight, I would have said the Portland game was his best game in a Thunder uniform. So yeah, we're stacking, and that's yep, a good thing. You mentioned the bench, Justin. I wanted to touch on that for just a second. The bench tonight, when you look down, let's just look at points real quick. You mentioned Jay Will 5, Hayward 3, Joe 10, Wiggins 7, Wallace 3. They played 10 guys in the rotation tonight.
Yep.
Notably, no Kenrich Williams.
No Kenrich. Very interesting.
And notably, no Biombo or Muscala. Mm-hmm. Now, the Heat do play a little bit small as well. We saw Gordon Hayward at the 5 minutes again for the second straight game. But those points again, 5-3-10-7-3. That is 28 points. Damn, that's quick math. Hell yeah. 28 points off the bench for the Thunder. When you look at rebounds, 7-2-4-3-0. You look at assists, 0-4-1-1. Just some great production. Let's go back to the Portland game. And when you look at that box score against Portland, there was 10-0-0-2-2 as bench scoring. That's not great. When you go back to that Lakers game back at the beginning of the week, lots of guys off the bench scored because they played everybody, because they got their asses whooped and just cleared the bench at the end.
Right.
It's like 3-2-2-3-0-0. Yeah. 7, and then you got Aaron Wiggins with 12. So yeah. I felt like, and I had mentioned this on the post game after the Portland game, and I mentioned on Twitter tonight, I felt like they were going to be intentional in trying to get the ball movement back up and get the bench more involved offensively. I felt like that happened tonight, and I think you hit the nail on the head earlier. I think getting Jay Will back is actually a really big thing for this team. I mentioned that the Heat kind of like to play small at times, and we saw Gordon Hayward as the lone big, big in quotation marks. We also saw the end of this game, the Thunder ran the two big lineup of Chet and Jay Will, which we have not seen a ton of this season.
Not a lot.
And I thought it was awesome because I thought Jay Will was phenomenal on Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the variety of lineups we saw tonight was very interesting. And the two big lineup down the stretch, very successful. I think that's something, it's nice to have that as just like a tool in your arsenal, and it's gotten enough burn now that it's starting to feel like a thing that I will not be surprised the first time we see the two big lineup get trotted out in the playoff series, right? Like, it's going to be one of those things that the opposing team may not be ready for. The opposing team may not it may be the thing that kind of like turns the tide a little bit. And I think that tonight was a good example of how successful that can be in certain scenarios, in certain doses.
Definitely. They're just so versatile. They can do a little bit of everything. And not only the players, but the team can play in a variety of... Tonight was a, 107-100?
Yep.
Like, just a grinded out, gritty... 107-100 in the year of our Lord, 2024.
A grinded
sounds like
out
a high school game, not an NBA game, you know?
Yes.
And so I think that's... They can win the ugly, muck it up, get in the dirt games. They can win the shootout games. They can just do a little bit of everything. And I don't know. It was nice to see them be able to just be the aggressor, especially in that second half tonight. Yep. Heat had like 43 second half points. 43.
Yep.
It's
insane. Insane. Lots more to break down. Before we do so, we're going to take a quick break. And I'm going to tell you about one of our sponsors, Dave's Hot Chicken. The East Hollywood pop-up sensation turned fast casual superstar Dave's Hot Chicken is now serving Oklahoma in Bricktown, Edmond, and coming soon to Chisholm Creek. Their mouth-watering sliders and tenders are offered at 7 spice levels, ranging from no spice to Reaper, which requires a signed waiver for those who dare. Each piece of hand-breaded chicken is spiced to order using a blend crafted specifically for its heat level or no spice at all, along with sides of house-made kale slaw, creamy mac and cheese, and crispy seasoned fries. And try the new Dave's Not Chicken, cauliflower slices that taste just like Dave's Hot Chicken, but they're not. Visit Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown, right next to Fuzzy's Taco Shop, before or after the next Thunder home game.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Jacob, you've hit on a lot of great themes so far. We've talked about the bench. Let's go up to the starting five and talk
about... Maybe it's important we talk about those guys, Justin. I don't know.
I guess. Let's talk about everyone's favorite hot topic, Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey tonight, 23 minutes, 11 points, 5 of 9 shooting, 1 of 3 from behind the arc, 9 boards, 6 assists. A great game. A great game from Josh Giddey. Some really nice plays. I love seeing him cut. The backdoor cuts and like playing in that dunker spot have been really impressive to me lately. In addition to, he had 2 passes to begin this game. Just the quintessential Josh threading the needle plays that you love to see. It's starting to feel like you talked about stacking games earlier. Stacking games for Josh Giddey right now feels like he's starting to get comfortable in a role. I'd love your thoughts.
Definitely. There's some people in the chat over here that are attempting to flame me. It's not working, folks.
But
keep trying. I have been critical of Josh. And the past few games, if you have listened to the shows, I've been very congratulatory of Josh because he played really good against the Lakers. And the Lakers put a guard on him to guard him. A guard to guard him, not a big.
Yep.
He played really good in Portland.
Yep.
They put a guard on him, not a big. Tonight, Nikola Jovic guards him, not the big Bam Adebayo. Josh, another great game. I do not think that's a coincidence, Justin.
Nope.
I think that is very, very important. And I also think you hit the nail on the head. They are changing up some of the things Josh does offensively. They are running him more with the second unit. He's getting the ball in his hands a little bit more, which is where he's comfortable. You mentioned the passes. The backdoor dub cut that he hit.
Filthy.
That window was so small. Like, it missed 2 defenders' fingertips by less than 3 inches. Like, just an incredibly tight window to get that ball, and I don't know how it got there. Just impressive stuff. Did you read his stat line? I'm sorry.
I did.
Yeah, nearly a triple-double. I love the 9 rebounds. Still a little bit left to desire defensively, but I thought he competed. There's some plays where he gets caught flat-footed, and he just doesn't have, like, the athleticism to be an elite defender. It just is what it is.
It is. And it always has been, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
He has a chance to make up for that with IQ and positioning and team defense. There's some times where I wish he was a little more aggressive on the defensive glass. I feel like he could be really impactful there. And there's some times where it feels like he just watches defensive rebounds. But overall, you nailed it. And that's 3 straight games of good Josh Giddey games. I have been harping since the turn of the new year. Josh will have good games like the Toronto game. Mm-hmm. And then he follows it up with a handful of stinkers. The biggest thing for Josh is finding consistency.
Yep.
3 games now in a row, too small of a sample size, but I'd rather 3 good games in a row than 3 bad games in a row.
Right.
And that's what we've got. I'll be interested to see if that continues Sunday against Memphis, but it feels like finally Josh is starting to stack some games. And I don't know if you have noticed this, Justin. I feel like you can visibly see more like positive emotion out of Josh.
Oh, totally.
On the bench and on the court as well. And I don't think those 2 things are unrelated.
No, not at all. Yeah. I mean, as frustrating as it's been to be a fan and watch this team and just see, you can see the issues. Like, you know that Josh is aware of them too, right? Like, he's an NBA player for a reason. He's not ignorant of where the problems are. Nobody is. Nobody on the staff is. Nobody in the front office is. Nobody on X.com is more aware of these issues than Josh Giddey himself, right? So to see him kind of find a footing and succeed and find a little bit of success, like you've got to love that for him, right? Like as painful as it's been just for the discourse on Twitter, it's got to feel like a relief. And I hope, like you said, if he starts to string this together, this is the perfect time to turn it on. If you're going to turn it on, do it heading into the playoffs. Like
totally,
this is where it starts to set in. He ramps up, then Thunder are golden. Speaking
totally
of
agree.
Golden, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander tonight, 37 points, 13 of 25 shooting, 2 of 7 from behind the arc, 9 of 11 from the stripe, 5 boards, 6 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He ties Kevin Durant for most 30-point games in a season at 47. The kicker? Thunder have like 20 more games.
Yeah. Think he might break it, Justin?
I think there's a good chance.
At the end of the game, like Shai did a ton of awesome stuff. And then at the end of the game, I couldn't even keep up with it. He came down. He had Caleb Martin on him. He went left side of the lane, drove in, planted that foot, stepped back, sent Caleb Martin somewhere off near like Shawnee.
The best.
And just banged it on him, just busted his ass.
Yep.
And I tweeted about it. And as soon as I hit send on the tweet, they had got to stop. He came down, got the switch to get Terry Rozier. That's had to dig for that name Rozier. For a second. Got Terry Rozier on him, step back, bang the three on him, just shit on both of them. And back to back, 5-0 run by Shai in like 30 seconds that just won the game. Just flat out, like that was the end of the basketball game.
Shai said
for him, and here's the thing that really impresses me, Justin. He did that in back to back possessions. The next time down the court, he sets a screen for Dub, backs out. And motions, go do your thing. Mm-hmm. Dub gets to the rim, gets the layup to really seal it.
Yeah, great.
Let me tell you something. If I'm one of the top two leading candidates for MVP and I'm busting everybody's ass and I'm at 37,
yeah,
I'm not touching that basketball. I am getting that basketball and that bitch is going up.
Yeah.
And for him to have like the wherewithal and just the understanding.
Yep.
To be like, hey, I'm going to step out. Now it's Dub's turn. You got the mismatch. Go cook. And to have that faith in his teammate. As a wise man once said, Justin, my whole life is consistent.
Dude, what a bar he dropped in the post-game interview. Incredible. With the dogs barking in the background. I love that now when they run off the court up the tunnel, all the fans are barking at the Jaylen's.
I haven't noticed that.
Yeah, they were doing it tonight. You could hear it pretty loud. It was amazing.
That's incredible.
I love it. I love it. Maybe on the flip side of things, let's talk about Chet. A rough game from Chet tonight. Looking at his stat sheet, 7 points, 3 of 9 shooting, 1 of 4 from behind the arc, 3 boards, 3 assists, apparently 0 blocks.
That's bullshit.
I think that not a great game from Chet, but maybe not a terrible game either. I don't think the stats tell the full story. Had some good moments, but definitely feels like he wasn't able to kind of establish his presence in this one. Curious your thoughts.
Yeah, I just felt kind of off from the word go. Not quite there. I thought defensively he was still very impactful, but hit a big three late that really helped the run there at the end. I thought did good things, didn't make shots. Not the greatest night for him. And spoiler alert, he's a rookie.
I know when you
see what Wembanyama's doing, you see what Chet's done all season, you see what Jaime Jaquez did tonight, it can kind of like make us forget a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, Chet is a rookie.
Yep.
What does he look like this time next year, Justin?
Yeah, that's exactly what you hope for, right? That's what the conversation has been around many players. Is as you develop, you've got to develop that consistency. Like what J-Dub has done in his first 2 years, like that's not normal. Most guys as a rookie up and down have really bright moments. Like those first few games post All-Star from Chet, phenomenal. Felt like he was coming to snatch the rookie of the year chain off of Williams' neck. Since then, not great. Like, not nearly at that level. He's going to go through another stretch where he looks incredible again. As he moves into year two, you hope to have more good, less bad. As he moves into year three, you hope to have even more good, even less bad. And that's the progression. And it's the guys that don't make that progression that usually don't last in the league. It's not due to talent. It's not due to ceiling. It's due to consistency and output. And that we've seen lots of guys come through the Thunder and not last because of that. Chet has a long way to go. You can't make that determination in their rookie season. But I think that it is a growing pain that I think as you look at this team, again, kind of getting ahead to the playoffs, he's going to have to find a little bit more consistency. Or that could be, you know, we could be sitting here looking at a playoff series where, you know, a stinker from Chet might be a reason why, or a contributing factor to why the Thunder lose. And that's just going to kind of be part of being on a team this young.
Totally agree. He's also played every game this season,
which is incredible. Also,
I think is a huge aspect. Like, I don't know how many games Jaime Jaquez has played. Victor Wembanyama definitely not played every game this year.
Yep.
I think that kind of wears on you as well. So, you know, just a lot of stuff to take into account. But the best game from Chet? No. Impactful? Yes.
Yep. Agreed. With that, let's take another break, and then we'll be right back to wrap this thing up. But first, I want to tell you about Spark. Spark Joy at Scissortail Park's family-friendly joint, Spark. Dive into their menu of burgers, bites, and cold delights. Don't skip the must-try BLC burger, pink fries, frozen peach club special, and rotating custard flavor of the month. Located directly west of the Paycom Center, Spark is the best spot to hit before or after a Thunder game. We all know two scoops or even three scoops of custard is better than one, so be on the lookout for Spark number 2 and 3 coming to Chisholm Creek and Nichols Hills later this spring and summer. All right, Jacob, we've covered a lot of players. We've covered a lot of things. I want to know, kind of looking back at this week on at a higher level, on a bigger picture scale, how are you feeling about the Thunder as they head into Sunday's matchup against the, why am I blanking?
Memphis Grizzlies.
Memphis Grizzlies. How are you feeling about the Thunder, kind of what we've seen this week as a whole?
Pretty good. I got to shout myself out. I'm currently 3-0 this week. maybe I know what I'm talking about.
Solidifying that lead.
There's a chance maybe I know what I'm doing here. Like, the Lakers game is what it is. Mm-hmm. The Portland game, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to whenever I did the solo shows Wednesday. This Portland team at this moment with this roster at this point in the season reminds me so much of the Thunder 2 years ago.
Totally agree.
Very, very similar. The Thunder still gritted out. Then tonight, just the grittiness of the win. I think they come out, they beat Memphis on Sunday as well. I think they're in a great spot, and they're trending in the right direction. Yep. Next week is a really interesting week for this team, and I think it will tell us a lot. They have some tough stretches coming up, and I kind of love that because
it's a good way to ramp up.
It's going
to
get them prepared for the playoffs for sure. So I think this upcoming week will be good. They're all just kind of finding their role, finding their groove, finding what they're good at. I think Josh Giddey, knock on wood, hopefully this isn't just a good 3-game stretch. Hopefully this is the rounding of a corner for him. Yep. We mentioned Gordon Hayward. Hopefully it's a rounding of a corner for him, or the ramp up is like going according to plan. Yep. He's also been playing more minutes. His spot in the rotation has shifted a little bit. Yep. I think that's all intentional. They feel like they're in a really good space as we progress. And as I say that, Justin, the Cleveland Cavaliers just beat the Minnesota Timberwolves in overtime, which means the Thunder have sole position of number one in the West again.
Crazy. I don't know. Like, we haven't talked about this as more than offline, but Cat going down for the Timberwolves.
Oh, we have not mentioned that. That's true.
In like, not that you ever want to see an injury, especially to a guy like Cat, but man, the door is open for the Thunder to be the one seed in the NBA playoffs. It's there for the taking.
Mm-hmm.
And
now the Nuggets are
really good.
Nuggets are coming on strong. They beat Boston last night. That would be Thursday night. The Clippers are starting to falter. Who would have guessed? A James Harden-led team faltering late in the season? Don't Shocking. Believe it.
Yeah. But that it's just insane to me. Again, with the theme of big picture, right? Looking back at everything, kind of where the Thunder are, the opportunity is sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to compare eras, right? But you're starting to see memes where it's like, Shea, J-Dub, Chet, greater than KD, Russ, Harden. You think about the jump that team took. There's a non-zero chance that the jump that this team is taking currently rivals that, if not surpasses it. It's hard to say it surpasses it until you see what happens mm-hmm. in the postseason. But what they're doing right now is so impressive. And like, you can say you thought they'd win, you know, X number of games preseason. You could say they thought they'd take what kind of jump, but like really looking at things and saying the Thunder have a very real possibility of being the one seed in the Western Conference heading into the NBA playoffs, a year removed from winning one game in the play-in, a year removed from Chet Holmgren's injury. That's insane. And I think that we always have to remember, I have to remind myself. And so by the way, I'm going to remind all of you listening to this, like, this is the good part. Enjoy this, because this is the last time that it's just like good vibes and dog barks in OKC. Like, there's serious expectations coming, and that changes everything. I think you're starting to see it with Shea. Like, you can picture a player's rise. Same thing for a team of like, the better they get, the more popular they get, and then they hit a point where the popularity dips and all of a sudden the haters come out. Shea's mm-hmm. hitting that point. The free throw merchant narratives are taking hold.
I love it. I posted it on the internet yesterday. Some folks who are fans of a team in the play-in calling Shea a foul merchant when they were cooking up SGA trades 18 months ago.
Ironic.
It's just absolutely chef's kiss for me. Absolutely, chef's kiss.
But the same thing's going to happen with this team too, right? Like, everybody's all on the good vibes Thunder train right now. 2 years from now, everyone's going to hate the Thunder.
Yeah.
Like, very much so. So
I've noticed that even with this run, like, I've started to embrace my inner hater, Justin.
Maybe that's how it starts.
I kind of love it.
Yeah. It's been, you know, we haven't had anything to tout for years, right? Like, other than how many draft picks the Thunder had, there wasn't a lot to
and we still about. Get to flex that.
And we still get to... Yes. Yes. Incredible. Any parting thoughts, Jacob, before we close this one out?
They're a good team, Justin.
They're a good team. They're
conversation
good
dogs, for another podcast.
They're good dogs.
But I wonder, with the way the play-in is set up, I wonder if the one seed really is like, I mean, you want home court advantage throughout the Western Conference playoffs mm-hmm. in case you make the Western Conference finals. But the one seed is the very last team to know who they're playing. That's the two true. Seed is the second to last team That's to know who true. They're playing.
Gamesmanship.
Like, I, for what it's worth, the Thunder are not going to gamesmanship some last games of the season. There is 0% chance in hell they try sitting guys and doing all this stuff, but it's an interesting thought, but that's a conversation for a different pod.
Speaking of, if you're listening to this on Saturday, come on back Sunday night for our group pod, 9 p.m. We'll get the gang together. We'll talk all those big themes. We'll talk about the week that was and the week that lies ahead. So much to talk about with this Thunder team. We appreciate all of you in the chat. Tons of people in the stream tonight. Love celebrating a Thunder win with you on a Friday night. The degenerates were out in full force.
Hey, people, degenerate, why don't you get at Justin on twitter.com and get him to make us a degenerates t-shirt.
Okay. Anyway,
actually, Justin is cooking up some heat in the kitchen.
Working on it.
maybe drop it soon. We also have, sorry, not to hijack the end here, Justin, but we have a couple of pretty exciting announcements. I think we're going to drop this Sunday on the show.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that as well.
Don't miss it. Fun stuff coming up. We appreciate all of you. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Drop a review. We got a really nice review yesterday that warmed my heart on Apple Podcasts. So if you haven't reviewed us yet and you have something nice to say, we'd love to hear it. Go drop that. We would greatly appreciate it. Until next time, and as always, Thunder Up.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.